Excuse me, I'm still reeling from the presence there for my goodness. God is so good. I wanted to continue a little bit about, you know, the last couple of weeks I was talking about this increase in discernment that's coming in wisdom and the word of wisdom, word of revelation. It's very important as we set up for what's going to happen next year. Next year will be our 24th year. And so I'm going to speak about it a little bit, next week. But I think today is going to be a preparation to receive next week's message. So I hope that you'll be able to just tune into what I'm saying here. I call this, believe it or not, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said to call this. Remember that old little children's song, "Careful, little ears, what you hear." You remember that? Those of you who used to go to children's church would remember that. But anyway, this is called "Be Careful, Little Tongue, What You Say." See, because we've been speaking about a greater authority that comes with this discernment. When you start to get spiritual discernment, you're responsible. It's awesome to get it. It's awesome to have authority, but then you're at a different level of responsibility. So I want to just give you a couple of important questions to think about this week for next week. I'll do that before I even get started with this. To ask yourself, go to your secret place and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the answers to this. Is my speech, Lord, critical or redemptive? In other words, when I speak, am I speaking redemption or am I just criticizing? See, because with greater discernment, you're going to be able to pick out what's wrong. What you do with that, are you going to speak redemptively or are you going to speak critically? That's an important thing to know. Lord, what's the quality of my love? Without judging yourself, without beating yourself up, what is the quality of your love? Because I said to you last week that when Jesus returns and we stand before him, it's not going to be so much what did we accomplish. It's going to be what is the depth? What is the quality of the love that we possess? You know, Mother Teresa said, God doesn't call us to do great things. He calls us to do small things with great love. So whatever we put our hearts to, whatever the thing that God would call us to do, if even it's a small thing, can we do it with a quality of love that would be reflective of the Savior? That's a question we want to ask ourselves. And if not, you know, you could always ask God for to fill in the blanks, right? So that would lead us to ask another question. Are we, or have we been, uniters or dividers? Do we set up ourselves against people? We want to be right and they've got to be wrong, this kind of dualistic mindset. Do we seek to dominate or to liberate? Because remember, the one who had all the authority came to earth not to dominate. He didn't come to be king. He came to liberate everyone. And so we want to, as disciples of him, of the Redeemer, we want to be able to do that. When we accuse people and when we're critical of people, we become disciples of the accuser. And I don't think anybody here wants to really do that. You know what I mean? So anyway, I want to continue with this today. Ask yourself those questions. I don't know if you wrote them down or whatever, but they're in your mind, so let God bring them up to you, as you do. So even as we pray, because what's going to happen is you're going to get greater discernment. So then you're going to go forth and you're going to bring prayers forth, you know? And did you know that some of the words that we speak, some of the even the prayers that we make, are a type of a form of witchcraft? Now, it's not just the words themselves that are a type of witchcraft. It's the attitude and the purpose by which they're spoken. So we have the wrong attitude. And witchcraft is a manipulation, right? It's not just the women with the black hat and the cauldrons kind of witchcraft. It's a manipulation. It's trying to bend the will of others to what we think. And we do that a lot of times by the words that we speak and the implications that those words mean. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose we're angry at somebody. And We say, oh, yeah, we're going to pray for that person. But we pray for them in a tone or in a manner that, and we wouldn't necessarily say this, but the tone of manner that we have says, you know, go get them, Lord. You know, change their mind. Change them. That would be a negative type prayer. We're sicking the Lord on somebody, you know, because we don't think that they're walking righteously the way we think they should. We're saying, change them, Lord, so they'll, that what, you know, that they'll think and do what I want them to, or that they're in accord with the way I think, or the church I go to, or the way that I've been brought up. Now that's a prayer of witchcraft, because it's a manipulation. You're trying to manipulate God to turn on these people and have them think like you do. Now a redemptive prayer, now that's a witchcraft prayer. What would be a redemptive prayer, right? A redemptive prayer always begins with thanksgiving for that person. Lord, I thank you for this person that you've created, that you've breathed life into. I thank you for them, God. And then it remembers and it speaks about them, all their attributes, their good attributes. It holds up to God the good things that you know about them, the experiences that you've had with them. And then it asks that God's will would be done in a situation where you feel there's turmoil or there's something that's missing. God, I thank you for this person. They have been done this, they've done this, they've done this, all beautiful, and I thank you for that, God. But Lord, I sense that there's something that's misfiring here. Would your will be done in that? That would be a redemptive prayer. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be careful about what we say, especially when more authority is being released. When you have authority, remember, God's authority was ultimate, supreme, and he spoke everything into existence. Rudy gave me a book, and I haven't read the entire book yet, but we were just talking about it earlier. He's a PhD in biblical studies and Hebrew and all that, and he called the creation, or what God created us to be, as imagers. Imagers, we're ones to bring forth an image, and that image should reflect what God is and who God is, and that's the quality of love that we have. We'll be able to form the image according to the depth and the quality of love. You see what I mean? Okay, so you may think, well, this is way out there, but let me give you some scripture. Let me read a portion of scripture here so you know that I'm not just like fantasizing here about this. This is from Matthew. It's familiar, but I'm going to read it out of the Passion Bible, so excuse me. It's Matthew 13. I'm sorry. What is it? 16. I wrote it down wrong. Matthew 16. In this portion of scripture, just before it, Jesus is asking his disciples, who's the crowd say that I am? And then, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you know, you are the Christ, you are the anointed one. And then Jesus says, you know, on that truth of who I am is going to be the bedrock foundation of the church that I'm going to have. The church that my legislative assembly will have authority over, the power of death. And death will not be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of heaven into the heaven's realms to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. In other words, that's that portion of scripture. You have the authority to bind on earth and loose on earth. We have the power to bind on earth and loose on earth as God releases more authority, as we start to see in a deeper way who the Christ is. And so we need to be able to pray and to speak in a redemptive way and take responsibility for the words that we speak. God is going to hold us more accountable. See, it's awesome to have more authority. It is awesome. It's great to have more authority. But in any level, whether it's spiritually or any way, when you have more authority, you have more responsibility. Amen? And so this coming year, God is releasing more authority. He's going to call us to a greater responsibility. And Listen, you don't have to do it all perfect. All you have to have is your heart right. Your heart right. Lord, bless these people. I thank you for them. Have that Thanksgiving thing. So we can try to manipulate people through witchcraft. We also can pray this way, a projected expectation. In other words, I think it should be a particular way. So we project onto another person what I think it should be. And when that person doesn't come up to what I think it should be, what it does, and they know it, it brings on them shame. They feel ashamed of what they are and what they're doing. And when a person feels shame, there's a wound that enters. A person can get wounded by the words that we speak. When a person is wounded that way, it actually opens up their lives and their souls for sin to enter, because it's a curse. The Hebrew definition for curse, it's AR is the word, or RR, whatever, however you say it. But what it means is this: it means to bind with a spell. So we don't want to bind on earth or in heaven a curse onto a person. We want to release a blessing over them, right? We want to loose a blessing. It means to be hemmed in by obstacles and to render a person powerless. So when a person is cursed, they're put under a spell that puts obstacles in their way in their ascension toward God. And it hems them in. And they become powerless until they can overcome this particular curse. Is this making sense to you? If you could see a curse this way, a curse is a container of death. When I was putting this message together, the Lord Spirit, he said a box of death. A curse is a box of death, a container of death. We do not want to be speaking and binding onto people expectations that no one can fulfill. Because a person is only responsible to God. And our responsibility before God is to know that and to speak blessing so that they'll be able to make the breakthrough out of whatever box they might already be in. Amen? Amen. Is this too heavy?
No.
I really feel like I wanted to lay this down to you because I felt the Lord had given it to me, and it's important because we're going to move into a level of authority that's not really been seen yet in the church, and I think it's going to blow everybody's mind. If it is what I've already seen, it's definitely going to blow everybody's mind. Now, the scriptural foundation for this kind of understanding is found in Genesis 4. And Cain had sinned, right? He killed Cain and Abel. And it said that God cursed him. He cursed the ground so that the ground would not yield its strength. In other words, anything that he was a farmer, right? So anything that he built, anything that he would plant would not bring forth any fruit. When we curse a person, the thing that God has put in them to bring forth fruit gets put in a container of death, and it can't grow. It never is able to bloom. So we don't want to be in the way of that, right? A curse is a container of death. And it says that in Romans 5, it says that death entered the world through sin. And so that this container of death, this curse that we would bring, actually brings a wound that brings sin into that person's life in that way. Sin is just means a turning away, a missing the mark. And when we're not able to fulfill what God has given us to do, we miss the mark. So we actually cause a person to sin. But 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all men die, but also in Christ all shall be made alive." We have the mind of Christ. We need to be able to access it and then speak out of that mind. See, the Redeemer Jesus was totally free from all influences of curses. He was not under any influence of any curse that anybody ever spoke against him. He was not moved by the words of men. Because of that, anything that Jesus puts his hand to will yield its strength. See, a curse caused Cain not to be able to bring forth the fruit of the ground. Jesus was not under any curse. So anything Jesus puts his hand to brings forth the fruit of strength. And that includes every human condition. Every human condition has to yield its strength to him. So if someone is sick and we can come into this level of authority where we speak out of the mind of Christ believing, that sickness has to yield its strength to the name of Jesus. It's why we did these songs this morning. It's to lay this foundation that we would understand that these are more than songs. These are scriptural truth that are given to us so that we can overcome the natural way things are on the earth, that we become like the Christ. So every sickness, every storm, every human condition, every demon, everything has to yield its strength. Everything. All things. He's given a name that's above every name, so that every name, everything shall bow and call him Lord. Amen? Isn't that true? Isn't that what we read? Now, as his disciples, this is going to take not looking at yourself, okay? Don't look at your failures, your flaws, and your imperfections now. In Christ, you are perfect. Okay? As disciples of the perfect one, we become repositories of the Christ. We have the Christ within. And Paul said in Colossians 1, he said that he became a minister. In other words, he became a person who was going to do what we're talking about to fulfill the word of God, the mystery of what's been hidden. The mystery that's been hidden, as you follow it down, Colossians 25, 27, is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And I'll tell you the truth, it was similar to the word I shared with you last week. The Lord had spoken to me. He said, you will peer into heaven with Christ's mind. And you will speak what you see there. You'll prophesy what you speak, what you see there into this earth. It won't be you, won't be me. It'll be the will of the Father being spoken. And remember, when God spoke, he created things. And God wants to recreate what he originally had intended for the earth. And he's going to do it through the repositories of Christ that are on the earth right now, if we believe. If we will take the step, if we will take responsibility for our lives, if we are intentional about the words that we say and speak. It's not just about learning the scripture and knowing this. That's all important, but it's not just about that. It's about taking and applying, listening to the Holy Spirit, taking what you hear, applying it, speaking it, believing it. Now, many things are hidden, but we're supposed to seek, right? Rick Joyner, and I mentioned it to you before, he said that God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. Because there are treasures that we can find that are precious and valuable. They're meaningful. They're holy. And as we find them, each time we take a step toward them and we find one of them, it becomes another step in the Aliyah. The Aliyah is the ascension, right? If you've ever climbed steps, I mean, you all climb steps, but if you ever climbed a lot of steps, you know, after a while, it gets tiring. I mean, you know, they say it's like one of the greatest exercises, right, to build up aerobics and stuff. The Aliyah is that those steps that go up to the holy mountain of God. So it's not going to be easy. This is not an easy thing. But you have a choice. You can either take a step down, you can stay where you are, or you can continue the journey and the ascension upward to the holy mountain. And these mysteries will show us the keys. They're like finding little gems along the path. And they'll show us and give us hints and encouragements about how to go about. Now, the reason that we need them is that the journey that we make, the aliyah that we make, is long. It takes a lifetime sometimes, and it becomes tedious, and it can be deceptive and dangerous. But if we are paying attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we'll be fine. The Holy Spirit will say, this is where you put your foot. This is where you put your foot. Because let me tell you something. And God spoke this to my heart. He said, the things that you gain easily are usually insignificant. The things that you gain easily are usually insignificant. The things that are difficult and you search for become treasures because they're precious. And you know, you've heard me say before that anytime we can get something easily, even if it's a holy thing, if we get it easily, it quickly becomes common. It's just human nature. We don't really value it in the depth that needs to be valued. Come on, Lord, I'm sucking a lozenge, I'm drinking water. Let's keep this throat clear. So the question I want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourselves, besides those original ones, are the things that I'm putting my hands to yielding strength? Are the things that I'm actually doing, are they yielding their strength to me? And if not, why? Why not? Do the areas of my life, are there areas in my life that seem stalled or hemmed in? I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to make a breakthrough. But I'm not making the breakthrough. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, John. I'm not making the breakthrough. And if this is happening, you can ask the Lord why. And then ask him to give you the breakthrough, because he breaks every chain, right? Doesn't he? Lord, how can I speak words that are liberating? How can I speak words of love instead of words of witchcraft? And if I ask the Holy Spirit, if you ask the Holy Spirit, he will help you. It's just a matter, because he's always speaking, it's just a matter of taking the time to step back. And I forgot which one of the authors it was. I was reading the scriptures and in the notes. He said that the cleft of the rock is where Moses got to see God. God put him in the cleft of the rock and the presence of God went by. Remember? Well, for us, we can see the presence of God because the cleft that we are put in is the side, the wound of the side of Jesus. I thought that was so spectacular because as we sit in that place, the presence of God can pass by us and we can actually get the full benefit of it. It becomes the secret place for us. So, Holy Spirit, are there any wounds in me that need to be healed? Where did they enter? Are there areas of unforgiveness in me? What was it my parents that did it? Was it a divorce in my family? Maybe that spurred the wound. Was I in a church and a pastor hurt me? Or a leader said something, you know, whether it was in a church or whether it was out in work or whatever. How about my own intentional sins? How about the things that I am participating in that I know that I shouldn't be, that you've been prompting me, but I'm not able to break through yet? How about the regrets and the heartaches that I still have that I've not let go of? Anything that's hurtful from my past, God, could you bring up and heal me? See, if you're not intentional about this, it's not going to just happen. You got to look at it straight on, without guilt, without condemnation. To do this, you have to have a faith and a confidence in the love of God to not only show you what's wrong, but to keep you in it, to keep you, so that you will not go down. You will not be overtaken by the circumstance. You will be liberated. The voices that you're hearing that saying, don't go to that place because you're going to go down, those are the voices, that's not God's voice. Those are the voices of your enemy that wants to keep you bound. And if you're going to be in authority, we need to have every chain, or at least be willing to have every chain be broken. Because you'll never be able to be a liberator if you're the one who's actually putting the chains on people. Do I have financial problems? Am I tithing? See, the Word of God is a plumb line. They're not rules and regulations. They're actually there. They're set up to help us, to guide us in this long and tedious journey. As we obey each one of them, as we follow each one of them, it gives us a gift that allows God to be seen in a particular part of His nature that then encourages our soul to continue. You understand what I mean? It's not like, oh, yeah, I did this and I do it begrudgingly. You may start off doing it begrudgingly, but when you do it and God starts to respond to it, because it's true, His love will carry us through. Each one becomes a gem, becomes a treasure that suddenly becomes found. It's like those whole parables about the guy who sold everything to buy the field and the pearl, and you know, all of that's what Jesus was talking about. See, ultimately, though, they found the pearl. You got the field of the treasure. So, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, always have to be taken as related to the written word. You know, let's suppose you think you're hearing some word. I don't even want to say one thing or another. But it doesn't line up with what's written in the Bible. Then you disregard it because it's not God. God will, He's not schizophrenic. He's always going to speak the same message. So if you know what the word is, what the written word says, and you think you hear something prophetically, if it doesn't line up with that written word, then you need to come to someone who's more spiritually mature, or you just totally disregard it. Because God will always speak in concert with His written word. Yeah. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, okay? So you have a protection there. So the other thing is, when the Holy Spirit shows you something, don't panic, don't deny it, don't deflect. Just repent. Just turn. Okay, Lord, I didn't see that, or I saw it and I didn't want to. I mean, I've told God I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I know you're showing me that, God, but I don't want to do that. It's like He laughed, you know. It was like, okay. Okay. Well, let me know when you're ready, Roy. You know, that's the God that we love. God is love, you know. Love doesn't impose. Read that whole portion of 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind and gentle and doesn't impose. It doesn't hold grudges. You know, all of those things. Those are all true. They're not just words. They're all aspects of God that we can actually take in and say, that's what God does. Yes, this guilt that I'm feeling doesn't say that He's bringing the spirit of guilt. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit, or gifts of the Spirit, for that matter. So don't be laying it out either, you know. So don't run away, because there'll be that lion of the devil. But you know, it says that he's a lion with no teeth. Right? Jesus took his teeth out. He's just got a big mouth. So what you could do is you could just say no. You could do a little screaming yourself. Then no! Be quiet! And let the Lion of Judah that's within you roar and scare the heck out of him. Let me tell you, that dude, he'll take off. He'll take off. Just repent. Because when you repent, you get rid of every soul contaminant.
That's right.
Those things have a way of hitchhiking a ride on us, on our being, you know. These things that come in, they call attachments in psychology or whatever, they just get attached to us. And we don't even realize this sometimes, but they're there and they're influencing our behavior and the way that we look at the world. If we're intentional, we can say, no, the Word of God says that I should be anxious for nothing, but with everything in prayer, with thanksgiving and in prayer and in supplication, a petition, that I can let my request be known to God, and the God of the peace that I can't even understand will guard my heart and my mind. He guards my heart, the things that are important to me, and my mind, the way that I perceive my reality. How? Through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'll tell you what. I want to break any spell that allows us to accept living with anything that confines us this morning. Is it all right? Because Christ has made us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Right? So I want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want you to just receive this. I don't care if you believe it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Just receive it. Say, God, you do what you're going to do. If you're not going to do anything, God, then that's fine. But if you're going to break it, then break it. All right? So close your eyes. So, Lord, I break by the power and authority of Jesus Christ that lives within me anything that manipulates your people today. Anything that's spoken over them that would manipulate them. Any words, any events, Lord, I break the power that it might have over them. Anything from the past, God. Anything that's from the future, Lord God, that might be projecting backwards. Anything that's ongoing, Lord. I break the binding of the spell of deception over them, God. And I loose the liberty that Christ's life and death and resurrection and ascension has given us. I loose it. Let your will alone be established, Lord, in us. And let your kingdom's reality be our new earthly experience. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.
Amen. Amen. I receive that.
I have the authority to bind. I have the authority to loose. I believe that. That's why I did this. I'm not trying to be, you know, a star here. There are things over us that need to go, and they need to go before the next year starts. If we're going to start moving in the authority that God wants to release to RCF, it's important. And the power is there to do it. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 2. Excuse me, 9. It's familiar. It says, this is what the scriptures say. Nothing, things never discovered or heard of before, and things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store or prepared for us. But God now reveals these profound realities to us by the Spirit. And if he's going to do it by the Spirit, it means that we need to take the time to hear the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed. Already, in other words, has revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. And after all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we then can articulate, we can speak them, these realities, with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Did you get what that meant? Just what we're talking about. Stopping, listening, getting the word, and then prophesying what the Spirit is saying. Speaking it with the words that the Spirit gives you. You know, many of the things that I speak to you guys are direct words from the Lord. Why? It's because I'm taking the time to sit and listen. Now, I have a particular responsibility, right? I have a pastor. I'm supposed to come and speak to you guys. But each one of us has an individual responsibility as well, because we're all supposed to go into the world as the commissioning that Jesus gave his disciples, go into the world and speak the words of the gospel to the world. The gospel is more than you're not going to hell. The gospel is you can overcome because Jesus overcame. We've settled for a watered-down gospel over the course of the centuries, and it's no mistake. I mean, it's a tactic of the enemy. It's what happened in Israel. They got these tremendous words from their prophets, and they were good for a little while, and next thing you know, they're just fading out. Next thing you know, they're worshiping idols just a little bit. Next thing you know, God is moving further and further and further and further away out of their daily life, and idols become the main thing. And you know what? We don't serve idols of wood and stone right now, but we have many other idols who take up our time. And that's what we need to ask the Lord. Where are my idols, Lord? Where are the things that are standing between me and you? And that's a personal thing. And only God can show you. Don't let people tell you. You have to know. And you hear it from God because He knows. The Spirit has the mind of God, right? But we have the mind of Christ. So we can know. God said it was already revealed. These deep things are already revealed. He's prepared them. And He's called them the mystery. He's called it a mystery, Christ within. It is sort of a mystery, isn't it? But it's that very Spirit of Christ that allows us and impels us and powers us to be the overcomers that we need to be, or else we go down the drain. And He's prepared these things, which He speaks of the blessings that He's ordained. It's each one of these gems that we will discover as we put our mind to taking this walk of Aliyah. And these blessings are such that the Word of God that we just read says that we can't even imagine what they are. We can't even imagine how powerful and beautiful and empowering they will be. We can't even imagine it. But it says that the Holy Spirit will reveal them. In order for the Holy Spirit to reveal it, we got to be listening. In order to be listening, we have to step back out of the chaos. It has to be an intentional act. You know what I mean? And I know it's not easy to do. And I know that this message, I continue to say it over and over again, but that's the message that God has given me, because we need to be able to break these chains that hold us to these concepts of who God is and what He wants and all this other stuff. It's got to go. We have a promise. Hebrews 11 gives us a promise. He says that God, if we will do this, He says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Being diligent doesn't mean just showing up and, you know, as part of the rest of the scheme of what you're doing. It means putting specific, directed time to listening and then doing what the Lord says. You know, in Proverbs 8, it says this, almost the same thing. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So what does that mean? Does that mean that He only loves people who love Him? How about everybody else? I thought God was love. I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently. Does that mean that God doesn't love the other people who don't seek Him diligently? Anybody? No, of course. Now, He loves everybody. But it's like, look, those of you who have children, when your kids show you and they're just interested in you and they take the time to be with you and love you, and don't you have a special place in your heart for those ones that do that? And in the particular way that they do it, not just in general, but just in that particular way. You can't help it. Well, God the Father is the same way. When we make Him our priority, when it's being with Him and seeking Him becomes the number one thing in our lives, we can still do all the other stuff, but when that becomes the number one thing, there's a special place in God's heart. And it says that when we do that diligent, when we're active in doing this, we will find Him. And when we find Him, it opens up all possibilities, because then all things become possible in God. Whatever you happen to be struggling with, when you find God, the answer is there. Whatever you don't understand, the answer is there. When you're afraid, I will trust in Him. The answer is there. He's the stronghold. He's also that secret place, that place of comfort. But it's only when we're diligent, searching, that we will find the treasures, and then we'll keep guard over them. See, because it's not just enough to find the treasure, you have to protect the treasure. When God shows you something, you're responsible for it, and you need to protect it. Now, he reveals these things little by little. Well, why doesn't God just show us the entire gamut? Well, if he did, what would happen probably is, because we're human beings, they would become common. They would not be the holy gems that they started out to be. It's just natural. It's until we are totally transformed, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. See, because we're in the process of becoming. We're becoming the people he desires. We're made alive in Christ. We're made alive. In other words, we're not. It's through Christ within us that we're coming. We're becoming these people that can be in total unity with him. If you can picture it this way, he's created us and he's continuing to create us. We are in the process of being created. Does that make sense? Remember, in God, it's all completed already. It's just for us, it seems that way. It's linear. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says that we're a new creation in Christ. I wanted to give you some of the attributes and abilities that the new creation have. Well, first of all, the new creation looks forward toward Christ instead of backwards into the old life and to the self. The new creation has the same mental and spiritual capacities that Christ has. Think of that. The same mental and spiritual capacities as Jesus had. The new creation can comprehend the things that are fully given by God. This is all out of the scripture, right out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you read it, you'll pick out each one of these. It can comprehend the things that are fully given to us by God, and it can be taught new spiritual things by the Spirit, because it's able to compare the spiritual to the natural. In other words, discernment. But here's the problem. There's an ongoing battle that wants to keep us from becoming Christ-like. If you can picture the battle that Jesus had, right? Jesus had this battle to bring a new creation. So he goes through all the life. He suffers all the indignities, all the suffering, the physical suffering as well as the mental and emotional suffering. He goes through the entire thing, and then he is crucified. Where is he crucified? Where's the place, the physical place that he's crucified? Golgotha. What does Golgotha mean? The place of the skull. What is in your skull? Your brain. What's in your brain? Your mind. That mind is where the battle is, and that's the place that needs to be crucified. If the mind of Christ is to have priority, the mind of self needs to bow to it. Our old man, and that's some, we use that term, the old man, the old way of looking at stuff, the old self, that's the part that gets crucified. Not you. Not the person, the very nature of who you are, the Christ within you. It's the old thoughts and the old instincts that get put on the cross. 2 Corinthians 10:5, I'm reading it in the NIV, says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the kingdom of God, and we take captive the military," which is a military term, "every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So there are thoughts that are coming into our mind that we take captive. We capture these thoughts so that they become disciplined and obey and bow to the thoughts of Christ. So it follows then that if we do this, that the new man never gets taken captive, but does the capturing. So every random thought, every thought of confusion or fear or disorientation, anything that would try to dilute the power of the Christ within us gets taken captive by the Christ within. It's a battle. And you can't let your guard down. And when you do, if you do, then you got to go back to the secret place and just say, "Lord, messed up." And you get reinvigorated. It doesn't cost you anything. Because I want to tell you something. Every thought that's allowed to enter your mind is alive. And it desires to stay alive. You follow what I mean? So any thought that's not of God that you allow to enter in your mind, you don't say, no, get out. I recognize you. How do I recognize you? Because you're not agreeing with what the Word of God says. You're making me feel anxious. You're making me feel confused. You're making me feel hopeless. You're making me feel less than. Don't receive it. I'm telling you, do not receive it. I don't care how you feel. Your emotions have nothing to do with this. This has to do with your will. I am not receiving this. The mind of Christ, you have to bow to the mind of Christ. That's what you got to do. See, there's an old story. I think I told you this story once before. There were two wolves, and they lived together, and they fought each other every day. One was a good wolf, and one was a bad wolf. One was evil and selfish and undisciplined and raw and ravenous. And then there was the good one, who was all the good stuff. But the one that wins every day is not necessarily the better of the two. It's the one who gets fed. So feed your good wolf. Feed your good wolf every day. Put your mind on the things that are above. Do your examen every day. God, where are you today? Holy Spirit, speak to me. I enter the speaker. Whatever, however you do it, feed the good wolf. Because the evil one is deceptive, and he looks like the good one. And we can separate the two, because the spiritual man, the new creation, has the discernment power. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:15. It has the power to discern. Use it. The spiritual man is the one who's chosen to be led by this Holy Spirit of truth. So if you choose to be led by truth, you'll always know what truth is. If you can look at it this way, your soul, your emotions, your soul is your emotions, your will, your intellect. It's trained to react to the circumstances of life. So picture it this way. You had a life event that approaches, something happens, and it's like molten lava that's coming at you. Molten lava, right? There you are, and you have an event that's disturbing. And it's like molten lava that's coming at you. And it's trying to take us captive to its effects. If we allow it to harden around our soul because of an offense or some sin or whatever, that offense will create a reality in us which will allow that lava to harden around us. And it will create in us a capacity to hold death. Because death enters through sin, right? So when we're sinned against, that other person's sin as it relates to our life creates in us the capacity to absorb death if we receive that. And you know what? We learn, I mean, just people learn to adapt to the climate that they live in. If you live in the North Pole, obviously you're going to be wearing heavy clothes, and if you live in the equator, you're going to be wearing little clothes. So, in a sense, because we live in a world where there's so much bad wolf, so to speak, happening, we've actually adapted to the expectation of death. We expect death. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about the effects of death. Do you see what I'm saying? It's become so prevalent in your daily life, there's almost an expectation that everything is going to go wrong. And we can change that perception. We can stand against that perception. I am not going to receive that. And I'm not just talking about physical death now, right? I'm talking about the concept of death. To every part of your soul, not just your physical being, your spiritual life too. Next thing you know, you're walking around and you're just going through the agenda of church, you know? But the new creation, the mind of Christ, receives the Zoe. The Zoe means life, but it's more than just life. It's the life force or the concept of life. The eternal life force, conceptualized. So we're alive in God. And we're alive to God. And this is where God wants us to be, alive in Him for eternity. That's the whole purpose of this entire deal. And I believe that this is, we're in a time when God is starting to peel back some of this understanding. That's why I'm taking the time to really like belabor this. Because it's not going to just come. It doesn't just come because you're hearing it said. You got to receive it and enter it. Say, Lord, I heard what He said. I'm not quite sure about all of that, but I'm going to do what he said to do, which was to go in my secret place and have you explain it. If you do that, God will start to take you. He'll meet you where you are, and He'll take you step by step along the path. Amen? Okay. Listen, Jesus said to ask, right? He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open for everyone who asks to receive. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Notice it says it will be opened. It's in the present tense, not someday in the future. You knock, it'll be opened. You ask, you will receive. It's not sometime in the great by and by. It's right now. So ask and keep asking. And do it moment to moment. Until we can actually lay hold of and really get it in our spirits, what Paul said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That's pretty good. Huh? To know the things freely given to us by God. Don't you want to know that? Because if you know that, you'll live in at a whole different realm. And that's what God wants to do in 2020 for us. He wants to start to bring us the ability to live in a different realm. Everything else could be the same, but our perception of it all will change. Because the peace of God will guard our hearts, the things that are important, and our minds, the way that we perceive our reality through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what I got for you today. So why don't you stand and let me pray with you. Thanks for your patience. Father, we don't have a grandiose plan on changing the world, but we can change our perceptions. Because you've given us that power, that mind of Christ that's within us. Your word says it's a mystery, but it's being revealed, Lord, by your Spirit. So, Lord, for today, for my brothers and sisters that are here, and as we go forward into next year, I thank you first for all that you've done and all that you are for us. I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, that we would be able to receive the understanding that the Spirit wants to give us. But even before that, God, keep us from becoming complacent, from being so busy that we forget to be diligent in seeking you. Lord, that we wouldn't just expect you to do all this stuff because, well, you know, you're good and this is what we think. But that there's a co-labor that you require of us. And we can receive as much or as little as we want to co-labor with you. I pray, God, that you would deepen, out of all of this, that you would deepen the quality of our love so that even if you send us to do small things, we will do those things with great love. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you.